Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that the assisted listening devices for the use in the council chambers are available upon request from staff at the clerk's office. Please be advised that confidential session item DP201607 regarding OMB hearing on March 17th for the historical Alton Trust appeal of Committee of Adjustment Decision number A25-15 has been withdrawn because the appeal to the board was withdrawn. Added items. Please note that in accordance with the procedure bylaw, a delegation from Mike McGarrell and Cheryl Connors on behalf of Protect Caledon regarding correspondence item number 2, as listed in the correspondence package, has been added to this evening's meeting agenda. Are there any members of council who have a disclosure of pecuniary interest? And seeing none, the next item is on the agenda is the consent agenda. I'll read out the title associated with the recommended motions from staff report. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that the item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold the item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak to the item first. If the item is not held, the motion that is printed with the staff report is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place this evening. The recommendation will go forward to council for our consideration at the next meeting. So staff report DP 2016-8, Re-6 Villages Community Improvement Plan, Alton, Caledon Village, Cheltenham, Inglewood, Town of Caledon. I see Councillor Befford has asked for it to be held. Heritage Caledon report dated January 11th, 2016. You want it held as well? Okay. Okay, thank you. So, okay, so that one report is part of consent. Okay, next item on the agenda is delegations. I will now call up Mike McGarrell and Cheryl Connors on behalf of Protect Caledon to approach the podium. Please state your names, provide your provide the information through the microphone. Please note that in accordance with the procedural bylaw, Mike, you have 10 minutes.
Great, thank you. Mr. Mayor, councillors and staff, my name is Mike McGarrell. I'm here as a representative and director of an entity called Protect Caledon Inc. We would like to readdress the site plan amendment approval for the Tottenham Pit. Since the first public meeting held in September 22nd, 2011, we the residents, and Cheryl and I and other members of the community, we have been involved in two public meetings, one town meeting with the MOE and the MNR. This is our seventh delegation to council on this topic. We also participated in an ARA review for the Standard Committee on General Government in Orangeville. Mr. Mayor, your values statement in the lobby clearly states that the town of Caledon will provide accurate, open, and clear communication, responsible for your decisions and actions, and lead by example. Our last delegation, October 20th, 2015, this council went in camera for one hour and 20 minutes, came back to vote on our request to fund a judicial review, and voted in error not to accept our request, especially our own two councillors. They saw fit to abandon the voting residents, but without an explanation as to why this decision was taken. Bottom line, it was a wrong decision for a myriad of reasons. In our pre-delegation meeting at that date, we were also told in a separate meeting, October 15th, that the council knew nothing about the site plan amendment approval, but we have firm email confirmation that this news from the MNR was forwarded to the council the same day it was received in June. So what I would like to ask, Mr. Mayor, is based on these two examples, do you think this action supports your own value statement as publicly outlined and signed by the Town of Caledon and employees? You do. Okay, let me read an email exchange from the former mayor, if I may. I had contacted the recently retired Chief Administration Officer to discuss a judicial review or an injunction at that time, because it was newly brought to our attention 18 months after the site plan amendment had been proposed. So I contacted the CAO at the time and had a lengthy discussion as to how and would the town consider an injunction to stop the approval of this pit expansion. After the conversation, I did a summary email and sent it to the former mayor, outlining the points discussed, and the response was, and I quote, "We will be reviewing the legal process tomorrow as a council, and we'll be discussing the best way for the town to proceed for the greatest success, this being the injunction. Council will do what they feel is the best way to proceed in the interests of the residents." That has not happened since September of 2011. "We are concerned with what has taken place and the impacts of what is proposed, as you know, and we'll proceed with that in mind." So the summary of that is we were told in 2011 that the town would act on our behalf, our health and our safety. That hasn't happened since 2011. We would like to bring forward another request, which Cheryl will do at the summation of our session. So my conclusion is, since September 2011, we the residents have been deceived and lied to regarding the extent of protection the town of Caledon would provide to his residents for our safety and health. I would like to turn it over to Cheryl Connors for further comment.
So normally he's good cop and I'm bad cop, so I'll just rewind a little bit. And when we had met at the last meeting, the reason we were given as to why the town wouldn't pursue a judicial review was that the mayor said that it was premature, as the first step would have to be to meet with the minister. So as the minister has now said no to meeting with us, we've come back again to ask for help. And we have, Protect Caledon has retained Gowling Lafleur Henderson, Rodney Northey, who's probably the top environmental lawyer in the country. We have here a very, very strong legal opinion that the site plan amendment approval violates the Oak Ridges Marine legislation as well as the Planning Act. So we're confident that this will be quite successful. We would like to do it alongside the town of Caledon. Since we've been meeting in 2011, you know, this council has stood with us in opposing it. It's not the Tottenham Pit. It annoys me a lot when it's called the Tottenham Pit because it's the Palgrave Residential Pit. It's 500 meters from my home. I don't think there's another pit in Caledon that's so densely populated. I was horrified to read in the response from the minister that they're going to be processing and crushing rock on site. They have never, ever processed and crushed rock on site. As the executive director of the Canadian Network for Respiratory Care, I work every day helping people impacted by respiratory disease. Processing rock produces silica dust, which causes silicosis and lung cancer. My mother died of lung cancer. I will forever and ever have in my brain embedded the sound of her gasping for air. It's a horrible, horrible way to die. I will be moving my family out of my home and urging everyone in our community to move away when they're processing and crushing silica dust. That's the way the prevailing winds are. It will blow the silica dust over my house. I've already had a significant reduction in my property value, which is real money, at MPAC because of the site plan amendment application. I've been told by real estate agents that I'll be lucky to get salvage for my estate home. My husband is 70 years old and retired. I run a nonprofit organization. We do not have pensions. Everything we have is in our house. I want to move. I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want my family to die. Like, this is, I know there are people on council have been impacted by cancer. My best friend is in Buffalo right now getting a bone marrow transplant because she's got an environmentally caused cancer 20 years earlier than anyone should get it, caused by benzene, MDS, and she lives in Palgrave. You know, there are numerous cases or isolate. I keep hearing more and more of people with brain cancer. She's in Buffalo because, by the way, if you get sick, Ontario can't handle bone marrow transplants, so we're paying to send people to the States. She's got two little boys that she can't be with for the next 3 months while she fights for her life. Like, this is serious. This is our health and welfare. I'm not here. I'm not a politician. I'm asking for your help because it's the right thing to do. The previous council, I know this council isn't held by previous council decisions, but morally many of you were on that council and we thought you were going to support the residents, but we have a really strong legal opinion that we can win, but it's really hard and it's a lot of money to raise to do it by ourselves, and we'd much prefer to do it in partnership with the town, because we think that, you know, your moms and your dads and sisters and brothers and sons and daughters, and if it was you in that position, you'd be wanting to protect your family as well. So I'm here asking for your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. We've just received the correspondence, so we'll probably have to have a look at it and see what we can do. I've just, like I said, received it through the package, and that's exactly what we'll do, and we'll try and come back with the next council meeting. I think if we're going to come up with some direction from the clerk, our clerk isn't here today. So.
The one thing I forgot to comment on was the gist of the answer from the minister, and it would be a staff person, was, you know, we've reduced what we approved, but I feel this is the argument you would make in court in front of a judge if I just robbed a bank. Well, judge, I was going to take $1 million, but I only took $100,000, so everything should be okay right now. And the fact that they reduced the amount of what they approved doesn't make breaking the law any less wrong, and we know what they do. It'll just be an easy matter to keep adding site. Once they break the law, they'll just keep doing it over and over and over again. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. No, actually, was there any questions, members of council? Okay, and seeing none, thank you, Cheryl. Oh, Doug?
Yes, I'd just like to clarify, Cheryl, thank you. I remember the time that we spent in camera, and I remember coming out, and you're absolutely correct in your summation, that we decided that the best route was to meet with the minister. And I guess I just need to clarify with the mayor, who wrote the letter, where we simply turned down flat by the ministry that we will not come and speak to you, or we will not entertain any discussion on this issue.
Just for clarification, look, Deputy Clerk has just passed me a note here that if we want to discuss this correspondence, we can get the information, and if the majority of council, a majority is required, if this correspondence item is suggested to be referred to staff or to the committee. So a member may wish to ask that this correspondence be brought to the general committee agenda and added to the agenda next week with a notice of motion. So we just need to do that later on. So if you want to have this brought back with staff information added to it, later on, we'll have to ask somebody to bring a motion forward to ask it to be directed to staff to go further. Okay. Did you want to continue with your question, or we?
No, I think the summation would be that I simply wanted to make sure that what I just mentioned and what Cheryl mentioned was considered when we take this a step further, because that was our deliberation that evening. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to make clear.
Okay, and like I said, we just received this correspondence as part of our package on Friday, I believe.
So. Yeah, and it says, I am unable to meet with you to discuss this matter, but thank you, Councillor Bufford.
Yep. Okay, Barb,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said you had a decision or somebody had reviewed it, some environmental. Is that somebody, is that information available to this council?
It's a legal opinion from Protect Caledon's lawyer, Gallings. It's a draft opinion, so they're still making a few further revisions, and as soon as it's final, I'd be happy to share it with you.
But if this is coming back in 2 weeks, when is this?
Is it coming back in 2 weeks?
It would have to come back, because we don't have one next week.
Yeah, we have to go that far.
Yeah, I think there's just some minor additions.
Could you electronically send it to us?
Actually, it should probably go to the clerk's office.
Yeah, it does, but I just want it.
Yeah. It would go through the clerk's office if you can share it, and then they will have it as part of the...
Yeah, we're going to have a summary, not the full legal opinion. It'd be a summary that's available, because we have to share that in the community when we're publicly, but obviously not the, you know, we're not going to, here you go, proponent,
Well, that's why it should go through the clerk's office and the conversations there. So later on in the evening... Toward the end of the night, we'll come up with if Doug's going to move a motion.
And I know Mr. Northey had said he's worked on a number of cases with Chris Williams, who I know you met with the last time. So if at any point it would be to have the two lawyers meet together to discuss potential course of action, that would be great.
Okay, we will do that. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I am in Buffalo with Kathy next week, so it's not going to happen next week because, it's a horrible thing.
The clerk or deputy clerk will be in touch with you. Ask them to help you out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Mike. If I may, just for a moment, if we could be kept abreast and in touch with everything going forward from this date. There's been too much happened in the past that we're unaware of and not been privy to, and we'd like to have an open forum and be included in the loop.
Okay.
If we could, thank you.
Can you take care of that? Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the public meeting. We have two applications before us for public input. The first meeting is regarding an application for proposed draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment from Flatto Palgrave Mansions Incorporated. The subject property is described as Park West Half Lot 25, Concession 9, and is located on the east side of Mount Pleasant Road, north of Old Church Road in Ward 4. The second meeting is regarding the application for a proposed draft plan of condominium from Brentwood Developments Corporation. The subject property is described as Block 116 of Plan 42M1960 and is located on the north side of Dougal Avenue, west of Old Kennedy Road, Ward 2. The purpose of these two meetings is to gather input from the public concerning the applications. Any member of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding any of the applications is advised to clearly print their name and address on the notification sheet located on the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following each presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record to provide their comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy of the record to the recording secretary at the desk to the left, right up here. Please note that any of the information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. We will now move to public information number one listed on the agenda. I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, the town senior development planner, to confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting concerning this matter.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Nordstrom. I will now call upon Andrew Walker from Gagnon Law, Urban Planners Limited, to begin his presentation on behalf of Flatto Palgrave Mansions Incorporated.
Good evening, Chair, members of the committee, staff, and the public. My name is Andrew Walker, and I'm a planning associate with Gagnon & Law Urban Planners. And I'm here tonight on behalf of Flatto Palgrave Mansions, Inc., The registered owner of the property, known legally as part of the west half of Lot 25, Concession 9, the property does not currently have a municipal address unless it's identified as 0 Mount Pleasant Road. The property is located on the east side of Mount Pleasant Road, south of Hunsdon Side Road. Flatow Palgrave has filed a draft plan of subdivision application and a zoning bylaw amendment application to develop the subject site for 8 single detached estate residential dwellings, along with a local road, stormwater management pond blocks, and open space and buffer blocks. The subject site is approximately 12.8 hectares, or about 31.68 acres in size. It has a frontage along Mount Pleasant Road of about 381 meters, or about 1,250 feet, and is currently vacant. The site is located within the Palgrave Estate Residential Community, as well as the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan area. Surrounding uses to the north, south, east, and west include vacant agricultural lands with limited single detached dwellings on lots. A little background on the history of the file. The previous owner of the subject site commenced a draft plan of subdivision application and zoning bylaw amendment in the late 80s, early 90s. Flatow Palgrave Mansions purchased the property in October of 2013 and are now continuing the process of the originally filed applications. The revised draft plan and zoning bylaw amendment were filed with the planning department on September 11, 2014, with the application having been deemed complete on November 26 of the same year. Comments were received on the initial submission on April 13, 2015, and the second resubmission having been filed on August 7th, 2015 and October 7th, 2015. As noted earlier, the purpose of the application is to develop the property to create an estate residential development consisting of 8 single detached residential dwellings, a local road access from Mount Pleasant Road, and 2 stormwater management pond blocks. The lots will range in size from 0.64 hectares to 3.2 hectares, or about 7.9 acres in size, and will be accessed from the proposed internal road and will be serviced by municipal water and private septic systems. A full range of plans, reports, and technical supporting documents were filed in support of the proposed estate residential development, with about 28 separate plans and reports and documents having been filed. This slide on the presentation lists all the plans. I won't read them. You can read that on your own time. Other members of the team having prepared reports, analysis, and support of the application include Urban Tech Consulting, Savanta, Coons Forestry, SPL, Colm Engineering, Valcoustics, Cosborne, Naboris, Jardin Design, and Soil Engineers. On this slide is a copy of the proposed draft plan, showing the proposed 8 lots, the local road with the access from Mount Pleasant, and the 2 stormwater management pond blocks to the north. The Region Appeal Official Plan designates the site as part of the Palgrave Estate Residential Community on Schedule D regional structure. According to the official Regional Official Plan, the Palgrave Estate Residential Community shall serve as the primary foci for estate residential growth within the rural system, and that estate residents or their large lot housing units that generally rely on private septic systems. The proposed draft plan conforms to the Regional Official Plan, and an amendment to this document is not required to accommodate the proposed development. The Town of Caledon Official Plan designates the site Palgrave Estate Residential Community on Schedule A Land Use Plan and Policy Areas 2 and 3 on Schedule G Palgrave Estate Residential Community. The proposed draft plan subdivision conforms to the official plan designations for estate residential development in the appropriate area of the town. Minimum lot size, servicing, environmental feature, and buffers, among others. The planning justification report, which staff are currently reviewing and evaluating with respect to the proposed development, identifies in detail how the proposal meets all the Palgrave Estate Residential Community policies under Section 7 of the official plan are being met. In addition, Schedule P, the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan Land Use Plan, designates the site as Palgrave Estate Residential Community. The Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan itself designates the site as countryside area. The subject site is located in an area of the Oak Ridges Moraine that permits estate residential development. Policies on creating and developing new lots in the countryside area designation are restrictive in the Oak Ridges Marine Plan, with exceptions permitting residential in areas, including, among others, the Palgrave Estate residential community. The proposed draft plan has been prepared with the policies and requirements of the Palgrave Estate residential community and the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan in mind. The reports, plans, and technical studies prepared and submitted in support of the proposed development address the policies and requirements of both the Town of Caledon official plan and the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan in detail. The proposal conforms to the official plan and the Oak Ridges Marine Conservation Plan policies and requirements, and as such, an amendment to these plans is not required. With respect to zoning, the property is currently zoned Rural Area Oak Ridges Marine, A2 ORM, and Environmental Policy Area 2 Oak Ridges Marine, EPA2-ORM. It is proposed to rezone the subject site, state residential exception, REX-AAA-ORM, Environmental Policy Area 1, EPA-1-ORM, and Environmental Policy Area 1 Exception 403, EPA-1-403-ORM. And the ORM designation in the zoning relates to the fact it's in the Oak Ridges Marine area. The exceptions to the estate residential zone are being sought to establish site-specific zone standards with respect to minimum lot area, minimum lot frontage, minimum interior side yard, natural area restrictions, maximum building areas and height, and structural envelope setback description. The environmental policy area zoning designations are proposed to cover the stormwater pond blocks and open space buffer areas. On this slide is a copy, is a map of the proposed zoning bylaw, and you can see where the EPA 1 zones are located at the bottom and across the top, which relate to the stormwater ponds. And the hatching is a natural area overlay, which is part of the site-specific zoning provisions that we're addressing. So this is just a slide just with the next steps, as was already identified by the chair. So this concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Walker. If there are any members of the public who wish to ask any questions, please step forward to the podium. Clearly state your name and address for the record. Okay. We'll have members of council if you've got any questions. And Barb.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I have one concern, and I'm not sure how the town feels about this, but I've looked at...
Actually, it's questions. We don't want opinions.
I wasn't going to give you an opinion, was I?
It sounded like you were leading towards that as questions of the delegation.
Okay. Well, you have one way in. You know how I have a hard time doing that. Okay.
Figure it out. Gordon can do
okay.
It. He's gotten used to it. Took him like 9 years, but he did figure it out.
Pretend I'm on Jeopardy, cute. I'm going to say it to staff then. Is that okay with you now?
Yep.
Okay. We have one way into this development. Is that a concern to planning staff should something happen?
See, you did it.
Through you, Chair. Fire and Emergency Services have reviewed the application, and there is no requirement that there be more than one access point for this type of development.
Do we have other new developments that only have one access point?
In Palgrave Estates, there are other examples of one access estate subdivisions.
Yeah, I know what I hear about Valleywood, that's why. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Just one question on your eighth slide. There's hatched marks, which are natural areas. And just looking at the satellite photo, it looks to be quite a vacant parcel. Just wondering the nature of the reference to those being natural areas. The justification for those.
Right, so those the natural area overlay on those lots are areas that are outside of the structural envelopes that are required to be provided on the draft plan. So in these areas of each of those lots, these would be beyond the structural envelope. So they would be areas that are meant to have the lot remain in its natural condition. So there would be no building, no changes to the landscape. Those areas would be left in their state. So it's not required to be a full EPA a zone. The reason for the EPA zone at the bottom is we're dealing with a significant woodlot to the south, which has a required setback to it, as well as an EPZ, an EZ1 designation in the OP, which cuts across the bottom there. So that EPA 1 ORM is meant to reflect that, as well as an appropriate buffer to the lots 7 and 8, which are the one across the bottom and the one that sort of has part of its property line right in the corner there. The rest of it is outside of those environmental features, and there's nothing on those that area of the land that is anything that would, you know, require necessarily an environmental protection zone. But in keeping with the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Policy requirements, we're supposed to have as much of the site in its natural condition. So with those being beyond the natural setback, we wanted to find a way to have that recognized in the zoning bylaw. So that's the natural area overlay.
Okay, so they're basically just they exist as lying outside of the building envelope. That's what creates those.
Correct. It's part of the lot, but it's outside of the structural envelope.
Okay. And are there restrictions on those properties as to what they may do? Like, are they restricted on what they might do on those parcels of those lots?
For the natural area?
Correct.
Yeah, in the in the proposed zoning bylaw, I'll just read this just so you know. What staff are reviewing with our proposed zoning is within any area shown as natural area on Schedule A to the bylaw, no person shall alter the surface of the land or alter, disturb, destroy, remove, or cut or trim any vegetation or alter, disturb, destroy, or remove any wildlife habitat, whether in use or not, unless deemed hazardous to human health or property. Okay. And this is an overlay that is in other areas of the town, so we're using a similar wording here to apply that same protection to the areas that are outside the structural envelopes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Beckford?
Yeah, my concern is drainage. Over the years, we've had several subdivisions that look good at the beginning, but we've had to deal with a tremendous amount of high water and lack of drainage. So I guess my question to staff would be, have we, I know there were soil and soil drainage studies. I don't know this area well, but have we satisfied ourselves that this will not be one of those areas where we have to deal with drainage problems?
It's a beach just without the lake.
Is it? Is that a guarantee? I just want to make sure that, just saying in the past.
Can you comment on drainage and the drainage reports? Councillor Beckford is concerned about whether this area will actually drain. I think this is paraphrasing his question.
Well, through you, Chair, yes. So Engineering, Public Works, and the Nottawasaga Valley Conservation Authority have all reviewed this application and its functional servicing report, including the stormwater management ponds. And because of the divide that goes through the land, we've been advised that it does require to deal with back-to-back storms. The two are required in that general vicinity.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions for members of council? Okay, I declare this meeting closed. We will give you a couple minutes to pull your stuff out, and staff that don't want to stay, and anybody else, and then we'll start with the next one. So you got 1 minute. If you want to prepare. Okay. We'll now move to public information meeting number two, as listed in the agenda. We'll now ask Elaine, the town's communication developments planner, to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting concerning this matter.
Through your chair, yes, it was.
Thank you. I will now call upon Tom Baskerville of Brentwood Developments Corporation to begin his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This public meeting is in respect of a condominium application on a project to be known as the Valley View Condominium. It is located, I'm not sure how to advance, just, thank you.
Wouldn't know why you'd be asking me.
You're in front of me. The project is located in the Southfields community, and this particular site is on Dougal Avenue, directly across from the Village Blue and Storm Pond, and immediately west of the commercial building that's under construction. The picture displayed is actually a picture of an earlier condominium project that's on Kennedy Road between Waterville Way and Larson Peak Roads. And the reason that we're showing it is that it's a very similar project. Same unit designs are used in both projects, and so many in the community would be familiar with the project that's existing. This is the site plan that was approved last year, or earlier this year, I suppose. The site plan calls for a mix of 77 units, interior lanes or roads, visitor parking, and an amenity area. And the zoning and site plan are both previously approved. Of course, the site plan process deals with things like the density of the site, the urban design in terms of how the buildings have been both laid out and designed from an architectural point of view. Deals with things like parking, and in particular the visitor parking, servicing and landscaping requirements and the like. The purpose of this application then is building on that, is to deal with the condominium approval itself, which deals with the creation of a condominium corporation and things like the rules of the ownership. So again, the site plan features 17 of the three-story reverse-fronting townhomes that face onto Dougal, 38 three-story back-to-back townhomes, and 22 conventional townhomes for a total of 77 units. And each of those has a unit, or has parking in a garage and also on the driveway. And in addition, there are 28 visitor parking spaces, including two accessible parking spaces, as well as that there's parking on both sides of Dougal that is permitted. And the site plan also includes an internal amenity or play area. Looking back to some of the design features that were incorporated and have been incorporated again, the new elevations incorporate more stone instead of just the brick and siding. But there are features incorporated into these units that add to the appeal, including things like the stone banding, the architectural details along the roof gables and so on, and all of the box windows and eyebrow windows and features like that. So dealing with the condominium portion of the application, it really consists of a couple of aspects, the first being the creation of what is going to be private property and what will be common area. And that's done through a reference plan registered on title and a process in a concurrent application called an exemption to part lot control. We'll be asking council to pass a bylaw to allow these individual townhouse parcels to be conveyed, as well as each individual parcel of land also owns one share of the common areas, which is primarily the roads, the internal roads, and the visitor parking and so on. So when somebody buys a unit, they buy not only their unit, but they also buy a share in the common areas, and those are called the parcels of tied land under a common elements condominium. So this is the actual draft plan of condominium, and we would expect that the application will deal with things like the way in which the internal roads and services are owned. Things like the visitor parking would be not restricted to individual units but available for all of the users. It would deal with the ownership of streetlights and utilities, the play area, and so on. When approved, the condominium will consist of both a written declaration, which is all of the rules of the ownership, and a listing of what is in fact private and what is in fact common area. It'll include things like the budget and the reserve fund study, and it'll provide for things like municipal access if there are issues that the municipality may have to deal with in future. So we would expect that the draft plan conditions for the condominium would deal with the town being satisfied with the declaration document, as well as other entities like Peel Region, Canada Post, and the utility companies requiring easements. So as of today, the site plan has been approved, the zoning bylaw has been passed, the site services and utilities and so on, all the detailed design work has been completed and approved, and the actual underground servicing is expected to commence this spring. And we've sold about half of the units at this point, and basements are expected to start probably end of June, and closings as early as probably January of 2017. And so the next steps then are to complete the underground servicing and the home construction, and while that's going on, we would move forward to draft approval of the condominium application. Then we would deal with clearing the conditions of approval and look to register the condominium at about the same time as the closings are starting in early in the new year. And I guess that's the presentation. If there's any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baskerville. Okay, are there any comments from the members of the public here tonight? If so, please step forward to the podium, state your name clearly, and your address. Okay, thank you. Do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through your chair, to Mr. Baskerville. Thank you for your presentation. We did have one resident here earlier, but she was not able to stay. I believe that she spoke to you in the lobby. So you've answered most of her questions in terms of start and finish. One question, though, is what measures will you take to mitigate the construction, we'll say nuisance, for the residents on McPherson in terms of fencing, garbage, site material, that type of thing?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the construction aspects, I guess, are mitigated largely through the site plan agreement controls. But you know, in the neighborhood in general, of course, we're building homes everywhere, and it's a matter of trying to employ clean streets and vigilant work around keeping the site as tidy as possible. This time of year, of course, being the worst. We will be putting up construction and siltation fence around the perimeter of the site, and we expect that most of the mud tracking and so on will be contained within the site. It'll take about a full year before we get to the point where we're into the final landscaping and so on. So during that period, we'll be required to maintain things like mud tracking and garbage pickup and
so on.
Thank you.
So at that point, at the year, you'd be able to construct the actual finished fencing between the two yards.
That's right. I think my expectation would be that the final landscaping and fence installation and so on would probably be the spring of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. My next question is one in regards to something that everybody loves, and it's garbage carts. So do the buyers know that when they're buying into the condo corp that they are not eligible for garbage carts, and that the condo units are bag collection? Is that something that is reiterated to them at the point of purchase?
Well, I wasn't aware, so I doubt they're aware. I haven't seen anything to that effect in the regional comments, actually, that we've received.
Okay.
In some instances, of course, condominiums are set up so that there's garbage bins and so on. In the previous project, we were able to get curbside pickup, and our expectation and in the correspondence that we've received from Peel Regional would lead me to believe that that's what's happening here, but...
I can get you further information on that. There are some other sections of Southfield where they're not eligible for CART. They have bag pickup, unless the condo corp itself petitions the region for CART collection. So that's something that they could take on their own.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Councillor Befford.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Two items that seem to emanate from this type of development. One is the parkland. And I understand from Councillor Downey that there's a big, quite a large park immediately adjacent to this project for the use of the residents.
Yeah, there are there's a number of parks in this community of varying degrees of from natural state trail to high-end sports Great. Fields and so on. And then within this particular development, we've added a small amenity area that's meant for the smallest of kids that wouldn't be able to get from this site to the adjacent parks.
Great.
And,
that's
of course, right across the road is the Village Blue amenity area and the trails down into the Etobicoke Creek.
The other item that seems to crop up as we deal with these types of subdivisions, particularly with a higher intensification of population, is parking. And you commented on parking, and I just wonder, either from the planning staff or from yourself, have we moved any in terms of accommodating not just the parking that you would identify for this type of subdivision, but what we're finding is that there's extended families stay with people now, and they have cars, and that becomes a problem. Do we take that into account when we put in this fairly intensive kind of subdivision?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the parking standards are what tends to govern the design, and then we always look to exceed those standards by way of just understanding the very issues that you speak of. In addition to that, what's not counted is all of the on-street parking, which Dougal Avenue was designed to be able to accommodate. On-street parking, and it could be for events around the gazebo areas in the village amenity area or the skating rink or something, but it could also be for people who are visiting and what have you. When it comes to individual owners exceeding their own ability to park people on an overnight and regular basis, it's hard to govern that. You'd like to think that somebody buying a home would make sure that it met their needs. And if you need, a two-car garage and two-car driveway, that you'd gravitate in that direction. And if you don't, then, and for residents to use the visitor parking as part of their family complement wouldn't likely be permitted. I would expect town staff to look for our condominium declaration to preclude that so that the visitor parking is, in fact, there for visitors.
Okay, thanks. I realize it's a tough issue that we've got to deal with, but thanks for...
Okay. No further questions. So as there are no further questions, I declare this public meeting of tonight's agenda concluded. We'll give staff and yourself, thank you very much, a minute to clear the room. Those that want to leave can, and the next item up will be the staff report. Okay, thanks, Mike. Okay, the staff report that was held as part of the consent agenda was the Six Villages Community Improvement Plan. There's no presentation, I don't believe, so we'll move straight into questions. And as it was held by Councillor Befford, he has the floor at this point.
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of questions regarding this. My first one is this was a unique way of handling the situation, having more than one village, in fact, having six villages at one time. Can you give me the rationale for doing them all together?
Through the chair, I believe it was decided that since there were six villages designated in the town, that it was important that we address them all at the same time.
Okay, it did create some questions, I know, as we went through table to table and as you brought communities together. There are a couple of items I'd just like to clarify before we move on this report. I'm trying to figure out what page this is. Oh, sorry, it'll be page 2 of 10 on the staff report, 2 of 10. And there are two questions that I have in sort of the overview of the terms of reference and the relationship to the Planning Act. One of them is that the community improvement tools include, obviously, the financial incentives, and there's quite a couple of pages of what those financial incentives are later on. It also says land acquisition. Can you explain, as part of the CIP process that we're talking about tonight, what does land acquisition mean? Is that meaning that we can take over land, or can you just clarify what that expression means?
Through the chair, I believe that the land acquisition is made available through community improvement plans so that you can look at the potential of vacant lands and they can be acquired. The community improvement plan that is being proposed does not have recommendations for acquiring any land.
Okay, the reason I'm asking, I'm wondering, in Caledon Village, for example, it's mentioned in the report that there would be a possibility of extending trail network or sidewalk network for people to move more accessible within the village, one of them being from McKim Court out to Highway 10. Would that be part of what was meant by land acquisition, that if that was discussed and we needed that land, that that's something that could happen?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Just moving down that page a little bit, there's an item that I just would like to clarify, and it suggests that village studies be completed and to determine, it says, future population. We've had a lot of discussion about population in Ward 1 and, you know, what we can and cannot. What do you mean that the village plan is going to make a difference or determine future population? I thought that was something that was related to X number of population that was provided by the province to the region to us. And so I'm a little confused as to how this is going to determine population. Is it determined population in the village? Is it determined population in...
This is referring to the official plan, and it's in the official plan that it's recommended that future studies be done and that those studies would look at future population. So this isn't referring to the CIP plan. This is referring to the existing OP.
So that's separate from the CIP that we've completed. The
yes.
CIP that we completed will not have an impact on the number of people that we have in the six villages?
No.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we had some discussion, I guess, when I got it on Friday and I was reviewing it. I had some concerns with the boundaries of Calum Village in particular, because anything we can do to improve the entrance to Calum Village was something high on my list. And then I learned this afternoon that others had problems with some of the boundaries on their villages. So we have a motion here, and I don't know if this is when you'd like to have this motion come forward or...
I think there has to be some discussion around what each member of council would like to see with the change or movements of the area, the financial impact areas, and then if you can bring them, or financial incentive areas, and then if you could bring it up at the end, that would be good.
Okay, so so our concerns were obviously Calum Village coming down to at least the fairgrounds to afford opportunity and improve the entrance to Calum Village. Inglewood also, even though it's floodplain, there are some opportunities on the entrance there that wouldn't be considered under this plan. And Alton, I don't think, was as much of an issue, but definitely two of my villages, our villages, was a concern. Some other councillors may have concerns with their villages, and I'd love to hear them. But it was with regards to the actual proposed boundaries were my concerns.
Okay, so we can run through it. I will come back to you with your motion. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Thank you for the report, and through you, Chair, sorry. You know what, I really enjoyed participating in the Six Village Study and hearing what the residents had to say. I guess my comment overall is not specific to my particular villages in Ward 2, but that we really look closely at the zoning and certain bylaws. For example, I found it slightly humorous that on the front of the Six Village package that we received, one of the village signs was actually illegal. Like, it's actually against our sign bylaw to have that type of sign. So, you know, if we want to create these quaint little villages, our zoning and our sign bylaws and all the kind of down in the dirt nitty gritty things need to all align. They have to, you know, the left hand needs to be talking to the right hand. And if we want to put these things in place and revitalize our villages, that's fantastic. But I shouldn't have, like, my residents or my shop owner shouldn't have to pay $1,000 to go to Committee of Adjustments to get a sign variance. We should just be supporting those type of quaint signs, especially when they're already there. So that's just my comment. Thank you.
Councillor Befford.
Yes. With respect to the very good things that come out of this financially to begin with, people can apply and have money to upgrade their facilities and so on, their shops and their homes. I guess the one thing that we've got to keep in mind, and I know we're dealing with Rob Hughes on this with respect to Inglewood, and that is as we move along and as homes are purchased, some torn down and rebuilt, there's a tendency for people in the villages to want to maintain a sense of identity and a sense of history and a sense of the historical value of their homes. And it doesn't come up in the CIP, but it is an important factor for people that they don't want to see their homes torn down in a three- or four-story building put up and not looking at all like the rest of the village. And so that's something I think that we've, I know Rob's working hard at looking at different methodologies that we can use to entertain some type of control, if you will, in villages. But I think it's just something that we need to keep in mind as we go through with whatever we're going to do with the CIP information.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Well, I got some questions.
I do.
Okay, I think some of the concerns I had with regards to it was some of the financial incentive areas, as alluded to by Councillor Shaughnessy. I think everything else in the report is very interesting and very well done. I like the fact that it does talk about repurposing and broadening the opportunities. And when I read that part of it, I began to wonder about whether we've extended the areas as to where... it really needed to be. When I talk about Palgrave, right now the area that's identified in there does talk about some of the commercial areas, but there's also residential mixed in the area that's identified. But we've missed, for example, the old schoolhouse just by the current school, which is home to the White Birch program for adult care, and a few homes in between. But I'm just wondering if staff could comment on maybe the reasoning why it didn't go that far, whether we can look at that as well. And then on the opposite side of the road, there's a body shop and a number of older style homes on the other side of the road that potentially could be repurposed to either a mixed use or service commercial. It would have to go through a zoning, but I'm just wondering if staff could comment on that.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think what we were doing is we were trying to focus the project areas to the core areas of the commercial components of the communities, and we did include some residential because we were trying to make it continuous. However, we could look at extending that further to the south through our, but we would need to do it through the consultant review.
Okay, so that is doable with regards to the consultant becoming involved again, just to have a look at it.
Yes.
The other village that I had a little bit of a concern about is Mona Mills. It too, like Palgrave, sits on a fairly busy regional road. And the areas on in the village within the boundary on the west side of the road, I would wonder and I would ask staff to maybe evaluate whether those homes on that side of the road would benefit from the potential of repurposing. And I'm thinking of the incentives that could be available when that happened. I think the vast majority at this point in time are residential homes, which wouldn't qualify, and that's fully understood. But if we did look at and did come to the chance of redevelopment opportunities, repurposing, then it could be made available, I would ask. And I think we talked about, I think Inglewood was brought up. Did you bring up Inglewood as far as the commercial areas? So I'm just wondering if, in a general statement, ensuring that the commercial properties that currently exist within these communities are have all been included, and if they haven't been included, as to what the reasoning for it is. So at this point, I would, well, you want a question along those lines? Okay, so we'll, before we go to the motion, Councillor Groves wants to speak. So that was the comments I had, and Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through you to staff. Thank you for the report. I know when we went through the exercise with the Bolton CIP, I'm going to ask a question. No comments. I'm not commenting. Some of the things I've heard from some of the folks in Bolton is the challenge is getting through the process of getting the funding to do facade improvements or whatever it is that they're trying to do. Are we looking at the process or revising that process to make it a little easier to get through as opposed to all those challenges? Because I know that there are some property owners in Bolton that tried and they just got discouraged because it was just very difficult to navigate through that process. So are you looking at that? Are you doing anything with that?
Through the chair. Economic development is looking at the concerns of individuals by surveying, and so that is being carried out at council's direction from the public meeting.
Okay, very good. Well, that's good to hear. And my second question, Mr. Chair, is I don't think it's advertised very well, so I think a lot of property owners don't even know that the CIP exists. So how are you proposing on advertising it or just getting it out there to property owners so that they are able to access it, because they just don't know?
The consultants prepared a brochure and guide that will be made available to people in the six villages, and it provides a very short summary of the advantages in utilizing the programs.
Okay, perfect. And would you be distributing that to the Bolton community as well, or only the ones that you're currently working on?
Economic development, I'm not sure if Sandra's here tonight, but they do distribute
I'm of the understanding that they distribute on a regular basis.
Go ahead, Sandra.
Councillor Groves, what we do is annually I send out to all property owners a direct mail to remind them of the program. And then anytime that there's space on the town page in the newspaper, mm-hmm. Communications will put an ad in there for us. We regularly have it in our economic development newsletter. Every month there's a small piece, but sometimes we do a larger advertisement. And then economic development attends all preliminary meetings with the planning department, and I attend if it's in the CIP area, to make sure that they're aware of the programs.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra. And I'd be happy to help you advertise it in my monthly newsletter too.
Sure.
If there's something you want to send, and I can always include it. And I know Councillor Innes, she sends one out, and I think Councillor Shaughnessy. So we're happy to help you do that.
Sure. Once we have some artwork ready that includes the six villages as well, then we'll send it out to all of Council.
So perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra. Any further questions? Okay. Bear with me. Okay, DP 2016-08, read six villages, community improvement plan, Alton, Caledon Village, Cheltenham, Inglewood, Mono Mills, and Palgrave. That report, DP 2016-8, regarding council adaptation of the six villages community improvement plan be received. That the bylaw be enacted to designate the community improvement project areas within each of the six villages, and that the bylaw enacted to adopt the six villages community improvement plan representing a strategy of revitalizing each of the town's six villages, and that a bylaw enacting the delegated authority to the treasurer or designate to sign and execute all community improvement plan financial incentive agreements. So, Councillor Shaughnessy, you do have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Dufour. That report, DP 2016-08, regarding six villages community improvement plan, Alton, Caledon Village, Cheltenham, Inglewood, Mono Mills, and Palgrave, be referred back to staff for further review of the proposed financial incentive areas for each of the six villages.
And I do need a seconder.
And I need a seconder.
Doug? And we do have Councillor Mezzapelli wanting to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I have no problem with the intent of the motion. When it was raised before, staff had mentioned that this would be done in consultation with the consultant, so I just wanted to confirm that that indeed would be the case. Okay.
Through the Chair, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? So vote on the motion for referral. All in favor? Carried. So, you want me to read the original? We need to vote this. We just need to vote on this, and that's what we just did. Well, we can't vote on this because that's this. Oh, okay. So we vote on the amended motion. That's what you want? Okay. We'll vote on the amended motion. All in favor? Okay, carried. Okay, we do have a motion for the correspondence. Please note that a majority is required if a correspondence item is suggested to be referred back to staff or committee. So, Councillor Befford, do you have the copy of the resolution?
Okay, motion. Yes, I do. You want me to read it?
Yep.
That the letter received by the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry dated January 26, 2016 regarding the approval of a site plan amendment under the Aggregate Resources Act for Brock Aggregates Tottenham Pit in the town of Caledon be referred to staff for review and a report be brought back to a Planning and Development Committee meeting for consideration.
All in favor? Are there any questions, first of all? Oh, we need a seconder. Councillor Innes is the seconder. And all in favor? Carried? Okay. So that can... Okay. Just a note, the Heritage Caledon report dated, it's February 8th. I think I incorrectly read February 11th. So note the correction. And that was in the consent agenda portion of it. So this concludes the meeting. The planning development is now adjourned.